Hello, welcome back, Jay Bearhat. Welcome into
Hello.
the office. How have you been doing?
I've been keeping busy. I think that's a good way to put it. Actually, one thing I've been up to is, do you remember Clone High?
Absolutely. I didn't, I never really got a chance to watch it, but I definitely remember it.
Oh, it's probably aged horribly, but it's a laugh riot. And it had that kind of revival thing where like that one Kennedy lost an election, so somebody posted the like nothing bad ever happens to the Kennedys clip,
I love
and
that.
then like Tumblr kids were like JFK is a, it was like Hetalia again where they're like he's a himbo,
I love
and
that.
I don't know if you know, then that led to them making like a new series like season two, like 20 years, like basically 20 years later.
I heard about this. I heard some mixed reactions, I guess.
Yeah, mixed is a good way to put it. I still laughed. There's good bits, but I feel like it has kind of the biggest problem is that like the original show is such a parody of like teen dramas of the era, and like now we live in like the post Riverdale teen dramas where it's like teen dramas are already a parody of teen dramas. They're all written by people who grew up writing fan fiction of 90210 and like coming up with this insane stuff. So, I don't think the new season's like bad per se. It's just kind of, how do you bring something like that to a modern era? Like, what is it you can be like cynical about? Because that's really kind of the drive of the show, is that it's a very cynical approach to these like overly sincere teen dramas. And in an era of cynicism, what is there to make fun of? I guess other than like comedy itself. And so on that note, I ended up also watching a movie that kind of feels more like Clone High, like a sequel to Clone High than the Clone High series does. And that one's really complicated because I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh at it. I liked it. I watched the whole thing. I didn't think it was very funny. And I think it's kind of because it's like the problem with the thing of Clone High is that it's really easy to make that kind of take the format of a teen drama and make it absurd, and it makes it absurd by that. But if you're trying to make fun of other comedies, you kind of have to either completely throw the rule book out or just make a sex comedy called Bottoms. That's better than Superbad, but doesn't have any things that I personally laughed at. So I'm very mixed on it. We're talking about Bottoms today.
Talking about bottoms.
I feel bad. It's so weird. It's not like I feel guilty saying I didn't laugh because I don't. It's that I am frustrated that I didn't laugh because so many things in that come together in a way that I'm like, wow, I had no fucking interest in seeing this like for like probably the first few weeks that it was out because it looked like Booksmart. It looked like fucking, it looked like a the modern like what if a sex comedy was for Zoomers and this time the ladies get in on it. To re recreating the same cloying weakness of Superbad that I don't want to relive. But people kept telling me like, no, this one's different. And I didn't believe them because people lie. And then I found out that it was about two teen girls, two teen femcels making a fight club to get girls. And that alone, I was like, okay, that's actually kind of an insane plot. I'll check this out. And I'll be honest, I was surprised. I did not expect the movie to be like that. But I think the ultimate problem is that it is too afraid to go. It's too afraid to stray too far from a sex comedy. And I feel like it needed that little extra oomph of like mocking the concept of a sex comedy.
Right.
And I think that's maybe why a lot of the jokes didn't land, is because to me it's like they would be great, but it would still be like, ah, but we're getting shuffled along into the same plot beats as like any other teen sex comedy or teen coming of age, whatever.
It certainly follows a formula, and I can kind of see that complaint there. This is an interesting situation, though, because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm always coming in here being like, man, I must have been in a bad mood or just blah blah blah.
You're the buzzkill.
I'm the buzzkill. I'm the buzzkill.
You're the no fun haver.
I'm the no fun allowed bitch. But I really loved Bottoms. I really loved this movie a lot. Because like I really do think that like I don't know. Like it either is going to hit for you or it's not, but like I laughed a lot of times. I laughed at everything Jeff did. It was supremely funny to me. The culture around the football players, where they're kind of like they're these like huge enormous dudes who are also just like the most waifish, emotional, weak, like frightened, like, you know, his acting when she bumped her car into his ankle was just really, really funny to me.
I did like also like, and this is an example of what I mean about like the kind of almost Clone High impulse of it, of mm-hmm. like taking the direness of like a football game in these movies and making it like literally like, oh, they murder people. like they fucking kill people for this,
right? Yeah, like that level of absurdity. I mean, to me, this comes from the reason I'm able to kind of excuse it, and it's, you know, it's somewhat adherence to a formula. It just feels like the Hot Rod / Dewey Cox school of comedy, where it's just like really trying to squeeze the juice out of every single possible joke that they can get in there, and just like joke after joke after joke after joke, which is just like such a smart, you know, way to write a comedy movie, because like, you know, that's the pure ticket value, you know what I mean? Like
I will say, extremely refreshing to see a comedy where the jokes aren't like just retelling the joke again and again.
Yeah, because they're so interested in getting onto the next joke. They got to get those LPMs.
Not trying to do the like, oh, we want this to sound like a naturalistic riff. Like, no, the character's just like joke, 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 out of jokes, next joke, 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 joke.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it was really breakneck pace because of that, but I thought it was it fit in really well with that school of humor and that, you know, that school of kind of weird quasi deconstructivist post-millennial humor, you know.
I guess I feel like, yeah, same to the thing where it's like that might have even been why it just didn't connect, is because even with like stuff like that, I feel like there's a degree of not taking the genre that it's functioning in seriously and mocking it.
Uh-huh.
That I felt was missing from this one. I felt like it very much so wanted to still be a sex comedy. And that's my problem, is that it's like, I don't find the genre very, I have like no interest in revisiting the ones that I probably would even enjoy.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have the same problem where it's like, if I went back and watched, I don't know, 40-year-old virgin, something that like theoretically would still be enjoyable maybe, but I just feel like I'd be like, I don't care. I don't care. Shut up.
I mean, yeah, I definitely couldn't go back to like the 40-year-old virgin, Knocked Up, Pineapple Express, like that kind of stuff. Like, and to me, like, when I bring up Hot Rod and Dewey Cox, those to me stand so separate from the mainstream of, or what I would describe as the mainstream, which is what you just described, which is like the fucking, what's his name? I always want to say Joss Whedon, but that's the sci-fi guy.
Seth Rogen.
Well, I'm talking about the Judd Apatow. Yeah. Who I'm thinking of. So many goddamn J's out there.
Sidebar. Since you brought up, you know what the new, guess what the new Pineapple Express movie guy is? Like the director did Pineapple Express. Guess what his new movie out is right now?
What is it?
The Exorcist reboot.
You know, I remember hearing that.
Because he also did the Halloween reboots.
That shit's gonna suck. That Exorcist movie's gonna be ass. Oh my fucking
I know,
God.
I can't wait. I'm a little hopeful because I have people who hated the first two Halloween reboots said that Halloween Kills has things that they like in it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's like, okay, he's learning. He's evolving. But when I looked at his filmography and realized he was the same guy who did Pineapple Express, I was like, this explains so much. It's all the pieces are coming together.
Horror and comedy. They're like a Venn diagram. They're like a pie chart. They're like two Pac-Mans kissing.
Yeah. Hey, even in this film, there's the the fucking baseball field slaughter.
Yeah. Can I talk about things I liked about this movie?
Yeah, it's no, like, go, hey, list them off.
All right, let me list them off. I there were some other earlier jokes in the movie that I didn't start writing down, but I did break out my notepad at a certain point. The point, getting to the point where you don't have enough social cachet that, like, the janitor stops talking to you, that, for some reason, was so funny to me. When the janitor started blowing her off.
I did like the joke of, like, them getting downgraded from f***gets to perverts.
Because, like, that was one of my favorite, one of the most crucial things about this movie is, like, the specific representation of gay losers who are losers not because they're gay. Like, there's, like, literally one of the first shots in the movie being, like, the gay popular kid who's, like, not only, like, who's loved by, like, the straight girls, the straight guys are fucking him, like, it's, you know, like, those kids do exist, like, the popular gays are real now, so you can't blame homophobia when you're a loser, that's, which is an experience I relate to.
Yeah, no, I did like that. I do like that the film is, like, acknowledges the homophobia and that teens still face it, but is also very, like, well, kind of part of the problem now is that if you're, like, normie and, like, integrated enough into high school culture, you can be gay.
Yeah.
in some areas, obviously.
Yeah.
But just acknowledging that there is now, like, a coolness gap in the gay high school ecosystem.
Yeah.
Is I think very, very clever. And I think very much the fact that it's, like, they are still treated in the way that, like, resembles homophobic bullying, but everyone is like, well, you're not being bullied because you're gay, though. It's because you're a loser.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's, I don't know, I felt a simmering awareness of, like, not just homophobia, but kind of patriarchy and, like, all of these things. I don't want to give too much credit or whatever, but yeah, it's a clear-eyed, realistic sort of thing.
I think the film is grappling with the fact that, like, Zoomers are in this, like, post-everyday feminism context.
Yeah.
Where, like, the kind of same social hierarchies are in place, but they have to be naturalized in a different way. And so you end up with characters that, like, say almost the right things, but, like, still happen to arrange things that, like, the same people are still mostly coming out on top.
Yeah, and there's parts in the movie where they use slurs. They use slurs in like varying contexts and varying ways. Like, it's a very like kind of damning against straight people article in a certain specific sense, or not really damning. Damning isn't the right word, but like the way they're ready to like employ homophobia, even though like there's acceptable versions of homosexuality. You know what I mean? Like, it. I don't know. That shit was really funny.
Well, no, I mean, because it's. I think, and again, I don't think that this is necessarily. I'm not gonna denigrate Emma Seligman. The only other thing I know she did is Shiva Baby, which I've heard mixed on, like more mixed responses to than I've heard from Bottoms.
Sure.
So I don't know enough about her as like a filmmaker or a creative to know if she's necessarily like, oh, here's my thoughtful thesis, or if she's just making, you know, goofy little movies.
Yeah.
But I think that there is unawareness still, at least in the way that it is deployed, of the fact that like you can exist in these contexts in which we are theoretically post XYZ, but that ultimately those things do still retain power. And that part of the reason why they retain power is so that you can, you know, keep people in line if they try to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's like really these characters where it's like the reason they're targets of homophobia is no longer because they're gay, but because they're losers. But the reason they're targets for homophobia is because they are intersectional gay losers. And it's a way to remind them of their place.
Yeah.
Even though it's like, oh, it's not that we have a problem with the fact that they're gay. We have a problem with the fact that they're losers, but making fun of them for being gay is how we reinforce the fact that they're losers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that really gets at the heart of it. That's the interplay there, really. That like there's always that loaded gun. Which is also is an intersects with being girls.
Yeah,
this is exactly the same. Exactly the same interplay is happening there. So I liked that aspect of it. In terms of like lines that stuck out to me that I like laughed really hard at, there was like, I wish I could remember the specific wording, but when they're talking in the car and she's just like, when people defend me and yell at people and abuse them. I actually am really attracted to that. And they, at the same time, they say like, oh, that's my love language or something like that. Really selling that line here for the audience, but basically like that stuff was really funny because like, I feel like in other comedies, the humor tends to slow down in sort of sincere moments. But here it's just as, if not more absurd than everything else that's happening.
Oh no, it's I like that it never makes it feel like, even when it's hitting all the same plot beats, it never makes it feel like the stakes are any more real than any of the other absurd stakes in the film.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I gotta fuck a cheerleader. I gotta fuck a cheerleader.
I loved the one cheerleader, the whole sequence of like the other cheerleader being like, okay, wait, I'm gay, and her being like, I'm not, I just like gay porn.
Yeah. She's so real. She is so real for that one.
She fucking is.
It's a complete tangent.
Sure.
I would be remiss, truly remiss, to not talk about Anna Biller, director of The Love Witches, response to just the poster of the film.
Oh boy. Ooh, buddy.
Anna Biller is the director of The Love Witch, which is an incredible film.
Yeah.
Anna Biller is like, you know how there are a lot of directors that are just dumb guys who keep making good films, but like the way they talk about their own movies is like the way a dumb guy talks about their movies.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Belair is a quality because she's that for women.
Yep. We to be like we stan her, but
we stan her, but we can't stand her.
We can't.
It's the best way to describe it.
Exactly. Oh my god.
So she posted the poster and was like, "How did the Me Too movement make its way back to sexploitation?" Then quoting the tagline, "A movie about empowering women," in parentheses, "the hot ones." A joke. An obvious joke.
Literally.
She then goes on to just keep being like, "Why are people saying I'm stupid?" I have no problem with sexy people on a poster for a movie called Bottoms. The problem is if the word empowering, because that's what the word has come to mean. Women are empowered to be sexy. I hope I haven't contributed somehow to this mess. And then literally the next tweet, "How are people calling me stupid?"
Oh my god. Ugh. I'm obsessed. I'm so obsessed. How am I not
also,
following
also
her?
Also, great exchange here. Does it help that this is written, directed by Emma Seligman, who also directed the absolutely fantastic Shiva Baby? I'm commenting on the poster.
Just the poster. Leave the movie out of this.
The most airplane overhead whoosh.
Listen, when I comment on a movie poster and you bring up the movie, you're being fucking weird. You need to back off. The content of the film.
If you're out here saying that this advertisement for the film might be in conversation with the content of the movie, you need to back the fuck off right now.
Hey, buddy. Don't let me hit that black button on you. Love that. Love that that occurred. Love that that happened. God.
Just so funny. Just so many people trying to explain her, and she's like, "But 70s exploitation movies were also like, they were also jokey." And it's like, I don't think you get the joke. I actually don't think you understand the joke. I don't think it's a great joke on the poster, but I don't think you get the joke.
God. Oh, well, what Neon White is to Machine Girl fans. And what We're All Going to the World's Fair is to Alex G fans. Bottoms is to me, bitch, because there's new Charlie XCX music in this movie.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
She did the score.
She did two movies this year.
That's true.
Kind of. I guess she also, like, that was, like, more the Ice Spice Nikki was, like, the big blowout for Barbie. But she did do something for Barbie, too.
Didn't she do stuff for Bodies, Bodies, Bodies or something? Am I crazy?
Oh, you know what? She might. Hold on, let me check. I'm fact checking this.
Yeah, me too.
I think the next movie she should do a soundtrack for is that new Martin Scorsese joint.
That would fucking go so hard!
Did you see? There's like a video of his, I think it's his granddaughter, maybe daughter. It's like a TikTok of her like giving him modern slang and an example and trying to see if he can guess. And it's so fucking cute and makes me want to see the Charlie XCX Martin Scorsese collab so badly.
Please.
There's a great part in it where and I didn't know this one, Sneaky Link is apparently your booty call, your like dick appointment, like your on call one. And he's like, oh, he's like, you know, it's like your business, like your secrets. No, no. She's like, it's like a booty call. And he's like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, you know, like the one that like, you know, you go to like when you want it. And he's like, ah, he's like, well, we didn't really have a term for that kind of stuff back that day, you know, because we didn't really have a recurring one. She's just like, oh, it's just a lot of variety. And she goes like, yeah.
Ugh, that's, I love that. I need to get on that. I need to make sure I'm following Martin Scorsese's granddaughter on TikTok post haste.
It's so funny how many just like big directors and producers, it's like their grandchildren are just on TikTok and will just do videos occasionally where they're harassing their massively industry like relevant family for content.
Good.
And they should do it.
Yeah, they submit themselves to it. It's adorable. We love Marty here.
Oh, she was in Charlie XCX was also in the Gossip Girl reboot as herself in an episode called One Flew Over the Cuck's Nest. Just a fun fact. Just a little fun fact to toss in there.
That's a lot. You just, you know, you got to warn me before you say stuff like that.
I don't. I like the Chekhov's pineapple. I liked the little bomb Futch, who there's no way is not going to have like a generation of people drawing her like fucking Pigpen or like the sexy Riddler from the new Batman movie. Like, no way there's not going to be a very weird Tumblr fan base for her, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. She's a type of kind of lightning rod for a certain type, she's a little
meow meow, and she makes bombs.
Yeah, she's perfect. What a great character. The strong characters in this movie really kind of like brought it home for me.
I will say, despite not laughing, that is basically what kept me like watching the whole thing. Was that I was like, oh, these are actually like really fun characters. I felt like the thing that I would have actually really liked is seeing this as like a like mini series, like an 8-episode show, like an 8 to 13-episode show, because I wanted to just watch the characters like interact.
Yeah, like that's fair. I would definitely, if they made a mini series, I suppose I would watch it. Or
bottoms 2 verse.
But it's VS.
Or they could just expand the series and have it be the bottoms verse.
No, the bottoms verse. Wow, this is a $1 million idea. Well, this movie's already made its budget back, so. I
feel like it's writing good buzz too. Like, I feel like it's probably gonna keep racking up hits.
Yeah,
there's a pretty solid fan base, it seems like, from it.
Yeah. I mean, I can only assume that they'll want to like work on new stuff, new ideas, work on different things. But yeah, no.
Extremely funny to find out that for the album soundtrack, one of the songs that Rachel gave to Charlie as this is the kind of vibe I want is Come Clean by Hilary Duff, because she wanted that Y2K like throwback aesthetic.
That's smart. That shit's so in right now.
That is what Zoomers, the age demographic of the characters in the film, that's what they're all about, is the YTK throwback.
Yeah.
Also works for making a sex comedy.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. Although Superbad came out more around the kind of Go Team Domo shirt wearing LMFAO era, but I'm waiting for that to be in.
I mean, hey, with the next episode we're about to record.
Exactly, bitch. Ugh, God.
Yeah. Decent comedy. If you haven't checked it out, I guess worth seeing. I don't know. This is the problem with doing episodes about comedies.
Yeah, they're not very deep. So it's hard to go deep with bottoms. That was an unintentional double chicken tender.
Oh, I thought it was an intentional.
In the between space between intentional and unintentional. Well, thank you for coming in as always. And you know, I'm sorry that your experience with bottoms, you know, wasn't grand.
Maybe I need to take something that'll make it easier for me to laugh at the foibles and pratfalls of Zoomers.
Yeah, I can prescribe something for you if you know.
Or just like, I don't know, put Benny Hill music over it. That would have been, now that now, would have been funny.
Hey, release the Benny Hill cut.
Or release the Benny, just speed it up. Nightcore that shit.
Nightcore that fucking movie. Can you imagine? That's the next frontier. That's movies too.
It's just a movies that releases its own Nightcore soundtrack of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Get on it, Charlie.
Come on,
I know
Charlie.
You're listening. I know you're listening.
I know you're out there, you British bitch. Get
she's
on
British?
It.
She's really overcome being British. Good for her.